Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Previously on Of Mice and Men and Monsters.
Charlie and I know each other from my previous life. We worked together.
Zero, we have to go back. We have to stop Fagin.
There is a room in the back. A circle. You can use that to transport yourselves. And these people that I have been working with. You need to stop them.
Coffins, both open and closed, litter the room's stone floor. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the La Roche grave, we're having a funeral of sorts. Drops an item into one of the open caskets near him. He took the gold locket and ring from her dead mother, that devil. Maybe Rose?
You notice that her hands are like tied with like leather straps, and you notice like a fuchsia color peeking out.
This happens when I'm stressed. And I'm very stressed, and your questions aren't making me less stressed.
Awen and Bertram, you follow Penny, and as you reach the front door of this mortuary, the wind is howling outside, enough to cut one's ears off. And you turn up your hoods or your cloaks or whatever you have against this onslaught. Penny, where are you going to lead them?
Okay, so she leads them the whole time, kind of trying to cover, because it's cold. So she has whatever she has. She's trying to cover. Do I have a blanket? Sorry, I just want this to be accurate. I don't think I do.
If you have an explorer's pack, you do have a blanket.
Great. She pulls out a blanket, wraps herself, covers her arms in the process, and is sort of just like looking both ways and sticking kind of to the edges and the corners and just trying to sneak away along the street. And then down the way to the right, there's like a really floofy but really dusty and run-down tea shop that she pulls them into. It's like really, think Madame Puttyfoots, let's be real. It's like very Madame Puttyfoots from Harry Potter.
Okay. So the three of you step into this tea shop, and despite the horrid cold outside and the howling wind, it is nice and quiet and even cozy in here. Although not the cleanest, not the finest, it still exudes a warmth that can put a traveler or a lost soul at ease. And it is very sparsely populated in here. You see a main table at the front with a hostess behind it who is both brewing the teas and handing them out. One server going around, but also you only see one other party kind of just at a corner table, party of maybe two or three over there, nondescript, scanning over there. You don't recognize them at all, Penny. And then there are other tables dotted throughout the room.
Great. I look over to Bertram and Eowyn and say, this spot is nice. It's clean-ish. And none of the guys ever frequent this place. They make fun of it. So I don't think we should have any trouble in here, hopefully, unless something's changed. And then she heads over to a table in the corner and kind of, and has not removed the blanket. The blanket's staying on, and kind of hunkers in a position where she can still see the, keep her eye on the door.
Yeah, Awen follows her and kind of like takes a look around the room as he walks over.
Bertram isn't looking at her, but kind of nods like, yeah. But his eyes go to all of the glorious tea that's around everywhere. And his eyes are definitely lighting up. So, yeah, he'll go up to the barkeep. I don't know what you would call the person who's serving at the front barista? Of the tea.
Brewmeister.
Ooh, I like that. This is the brewmeister.
And you said it's a gentleman?
No, actually. It is an older rabbit folk. So she... yeah, so one of the newer races that you can play in D&D 5e, they've added a few, and they're anthropomorphic. They're kind of animal-based. So in this one, it is like a humanoid rabbit. So standing on the hind legs, but otherwise just looks like a rabbit that can stand. That's just a little bit shorter than the average height for a human, so still far below Bertram. We're not talking even about 6 foot. This rabbit is probably like 5'2". This rabbit folk. And
that's a big rabbit.
Yeah, yeah. And it is an older female, so she has kind of like a kindly face and a little apron tied around, a ladle strapped to her back.
Yeah, Bertram will throw down 5 gold pieces and says, "Hello there, madam. Your finest tea, please, and thank you." I don't know what you'd say. Your finest loose leaf.
Oh my goodness. How much of this tea do you want? For 5 gold, I can give you so much.
If you can give me so much, then that is what I will take. But none of the lower shelf loose leaf teas. I want the high shelf. Give me what you've got. Give me your best shot.
Show me what you've got.
And she takes 4 of the 5 gold, you know, swipes it backwards. Puts it into her version of a register, and then she takes one and puts it in a side jar, and then she gets to work. So she gestures that she'll, you know, bring it out to you, so to go ahead and join your table.
Thank you, madam. I'll be right over there in the corner with my 2 companions. Thank you.
Of course. And so, yeah, she gets busily to work. You join your 2 compatriots. And so the 3 of you have a little bit of space of time to yourselves here. And so you also notice that on this table are, although there are, is a cloth, you know, covering for the wooden table, the napkins there that they have, a small stack in the middle, are made out of a paper, you know, so they're more of the paper napkins, easily drawn upon. And here is where I would invite you, Penny, to begin filling in what you can of what you know of this city. And so I'm going to have you guys do like a very super mini, eeny, eeny, beatsy world building for me. And so
sick.
You, since this is a place that you know very well, Penny, you are going to guide, drawing on one of the napkins, a map of this area of the city. But I'm also, for fun, going to invite both Adam and Aaron for your characters to kind of like in a Monster of the Week version of this. So sometimes when you play, you can invite your players to tell you in the spur of the moment something that is either in the room or in the city, and now it's part of the game. And so I'm going to invite Adam and Aaron, even though their characters have not been to this city before, but just for fun, to tell me and tell, therefore, Penny one thing to add to the map that will be on there. Okay, so for this, it's, I would say, just to numerize it or just to give it boundaries here, Kimmy, Penny's going to give us 5 details about this, and then Awen and Bertram will each offer up one detail. And so all of that together will help me and will inform where I go from here in creating this city of, if you guys remember the sound, the name of it is Old Smoke, the city at large. But you guys are in a section of Old Smoke. The sense that we are playing through, since we are playing through Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, you know, he's basing it off of London, which is a square mile. And in the square mile of London, there are 33 boroughs. And so the idea is you have sections of the city that are like their own. And so you're creating a map of this section of the city. And just for fun, the section of the city that you're in where you kind of grew up a lot, Penny, where you kind of operated in a lot, although you went to different parts of Old Smoke, but where your base of operations was is called the Dickens, which is the slummy place, the not as nice, a lot of where the darker deeds were either planned or carried out. Okay, so city at large is called Old Smoke, and you guys are creating a map on a napkin of the Dickens.
Okay, we'll see how this goes.
Improv time.
Improv. All right. So I look at them and say, basically, this is the old part of town. This was built hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So just imagine a grid or like if you set up a bunch of squares and then you shook it for a few minutes, that's what these streets look like. It has a semblance of logic, but there's like little alleys in and out and in and out. Not many people know them all. But I do, but we'll get to that. So, and then she draws like, I think a big line down kind of 2/3 to the right on the paper. It says, this is the street. How am I going to do this? Sorry. I'm like, has anyone read that book about the Great Plague and like Jon Snow and him like solving typhoid?
Mm-mm.
It's really good, particularly during COVID. It was a really interesting read. It's like, he's the original Jon Snow. Anyway, there's like a map of Soho that I'm like visualizing right now. And I'm not trying to get too,
wait,
but
it's
like,
not Journal of the Plague year, is it?
No, now I want to know. I'm so sorry. This doesn't matter. Give me 2 seconds. Jon Snow book typhoid. It's like really, it's truly the most fun. The ghost map. It's like the most fun book I've read in a while. Anyway, but there's a map of Soho. So basically, she draws this big line and she's like, this is the line across. On one side is the beautiful part of town where the rich and the successful and everyone interesting and cool in Old Smoke lives. We're not there. We're over here in Dickens. This is the rough, the grubby, the dirty, the fun, the mischievous side of the city. So the two bump up against each other. There's only one small alley which connects it. We would use that to go over there and to, you know, make our money, make our means, as it were. So in Old Smoke, we've got a couple of, there's a couple things you can look for that can kind of tell you where you are. First of all, in the center of it, there's this big old church. Its roof is half collapsed. They don't use it for church anymore. I've never been to a church service, but it's there and there are a lot of meetings, often by Fagin, in there. So often it's a gambling ring. It can be a lot of things. But that is like the central point of Dickens. And that is one of the first places we will either want to be avoiding, or if we decide we're just heading straight into this, that's where we probably can find Fagin. I can keep going. Any questions?
No,
any questions?
I think this is where I would invite Adam and Aaron. Do you guys have your detail that you'd like to throw onto this map? And you don't have to speak in character for this, because this is just you, the player, giving us some cool new details.
Yeah, so I think on the edge of the Dickens, so you said that there's one side that is the rich side. What was that called?
I don't think that, it's been said.
I didn't have a neighborhood a name for that.
Okay.
Charleston.
Okay. Good old Charleston. So butting up right against, so where those two meet, there's a large hilly green park type garden that is kind of juxtapose. This is the border between Charleston and the Dickens. And I'd say like in that there are some like thick woods, and also just like some hills.
Nice. I like that. Okay. So we have kind of a, in the middle of the urbane atmosphere, you do have still an element that would be helpful to our druid.
Yeah. I think even, I like how there's that border that differentiates the two sides. I think even more so going after its namesake of Old Smoke, I'd say that maybe in the Dickens area of town, the borough, maybe that's where a lot of like tall factories and tall buildings are that billow smoke down to the ground. And so you have a lot of these skyscrapers that just cast shadows and darkness on the streets, even during the daytime. And the smoke that comes from these kind of blue collar factory jobs just permeates the streets and sits on it. So it's easier maybe for Penelope when she was growing up and those people to slink in and out of the streets and go unnoticed because it's full of shadows and darkness and smoke. So like I know Penelope mentioned earlier, maybe even like jumping from shadow to shadow, it's really easy to do in the Dickens where their shadow covers everything and smoke just fills the air and coats your lungs.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a useful part of it, but also there's that pollutant to it where, you know, you would definitely not have that on the Charleston side, the nicer side, mm-hmm. but they would kind of have everything that would pollute and congest pushed over to where it was more convenient on yep. the Dickens instead.
Mm-hmm. And then how they're able to use that to their advantage.
Exactly.
Penelope mm-hmm. was.
And yeah. it's like an adaptation for them, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Well, we're stuck with this so we can use it to conduct our business. Now, Kimmy, can you give me three more details that Penny would add to this map?
She would notice, she would point out that up the way from the church, right, the top of Dickens, there is a statue of a small dog. It's pretty out of the way. It's just on the side of the street. But that statue is a meeting place for a lot of people. So that's a term, that statue. I'm trying to give it a name. Give me a minute. But we'll call it Rufus. The statue, the dog is called Rufus. No one knows why. No one knows why it's there, but it's a statue of a dog and it's right there. And that is a meeting point for a lot of people. So if you hear someone reference the Rufus, that's what they're talking about. And then she points down, it's basically down like two, you have to turn down like three alleys. At the end of an alley, there's a public house called the King's Nose. And that public house is basically where everyone hangs out and where everyone talks and where everyone gets in trouble. Where basically the most devious plans or the most devious cookings up happen at that pub. And that's the number one spot for everyone to spend after a job.
Nice.
That's great. One more.
Do you need more?
One more.
And then I want to add on to his park. There is a small corner on the Dickens side that basically they felt like the people of Dickens weren't using it well or weren't making use of it. And so the people from the Charleston side used a corner of the Dickens side as a cemetery. And so therefore that is where the La Roche. That is where La Roche probably would be found, is in that corner cemetery in a very decrepit part of the park. It's like how Eagleton and Pawnee are, where they like.
I was thinking the exact same thing with the fence there, the fence that divide or yep. some kind of dividing line. Yeah.
So that's based on, this is based on truth. I pulled up the ghost map because I'm a nerd, but there was like, it literally, this area where typhoid broke out, like their houses and the streets created a wall where on the other side was like the richest part of town. And then right next to them is where all the poor people were dying of typhoid. It's so interesting.
Dang.
Anyway, I love that book. That's it.
I love typhoid.
Make that into a pin, my friend.
So many.
All right. So
many. Y'all gotta read this book.
You guys did an awesome job, like A+ on that, for just a little bit of improv and coming up with things on the fly. We have a working map here, and I think just getting to know, I've gotten to know the Dickens so much more in the past 10 minutes from you guys. And I'm going to have fun now playing with this in a world that you guys helped build. And so I'm very, very excited to have some of these down. So I made sure to take notes, and I even put it into our group chat so that you can have it too.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica,
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents,
or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks home, because now we have a brand new podcast, Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears! Hey, it's me, Kate, your master teacher, and I'm here at the break to say, first of all, thank you for listening. I am so happy you're here. I'm so happy you are listening to this adventure set in the world of Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. And I would love to invite you to a couple things. First, I would love to invite you to reach out to us, even if it's just to say hey, or to give us a very corny dad joke if you're into that, or to give us suggestions for future homebrew content or future stories to use, as long as they are in public domain. But you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is at omamamshow. And you can also email us. Our email is omamamshow@gmail.com. I would also like to invite you to leave us a review and a rating. You can rate and review us on iTunes podcasts, but you can also do it on many other platforms wherever you are listening. But by doing so, you are really pushing us forward. You are allowing us, through the algorithm, to be seen and suggested to more people so that they can join you on this literary journey, on this adventure that we're all on together. And we humbly appreciate it. It means the world to us to see another rating or review pop up on this little podcast of ours. And in exchange, I'll be reading your reviews podcast episode by podcast episode. So for this week, I am going to share a review from Force of July. I like that little punny name there. But Force of July says, okay, so many things to write here. First and foremost, Caitlin, the master teacher. Ooh, that's me. Fantastically weaves together legendary literature with D&D elements to welcome the listener into a literary dimension of wonder and dice rolls. Secondly, the arcs are savory and short, which is a great change from other longer D&D podcasts. Third, the ensemble of player characters are interesting and their growing dynamic together is endearing. Last but certainly not least, the book report episodes, capping the end of each arc, are excellent and illuminating. They bring you into the context behind the literature and engage listeners meaningfully. This podcast is worth your time. 4th of July, whoa! I would love to just reach out to you somehow and say, hey, can I use this whenever I'm plugging the podcast onto different websites? This was super well written and super kind of you. Thank you for that. But yes, if you leave us a review, especially on iTunes podcast, we will find it and we will share it on here and you'll be able to hear your own words. So anyways, that's enough of me. Let's get back to the adventure and find out what happens next. So as you're finishing this map and you're putting the final note of where the LaRoche gravesite would be at that particular corner of the cemetery on the Dickens side of the park, you see the rabbit folk kind of shuffling up towards you, and she has a tray of a full serving of tea on it, complete with cakes and small sandwiches. You see a sampling of three different types of loose leaves that you'll be able to put into their cream, sugar, all the works, right? Her version of attempting a high tea, and she's shuffling towards you. And as she goes, you know, she's slow going. And Penny, you kind of take a second look at her and you realize you do recognize this person. You do recognize this rabbit folk. It had been so long that you had just like blocked so much out, and you remember that this person coming towards you, her name is Rose Maley. And you remember her as somebody who would often offer the children in your group extra food, clothing, and shelter when they needed it most. She even had offered it to you a couple times. So even though you didn't have a lot of direct dealings with her, you weren't used to seeing her actually running the shop herself. She would usually be upstairs, or she would be out and about. But another thing you remember about her is that she would often speak outright against Fagin, even at the times when you couldn't comprehend anybody being either brave enough or dumb enough to do so. But there was always an unspoken stalemate between the two of them. Fagin would never enter her shop. She would never enter his area. And they would just let each other be. But there was always something kind of simmering there of dislike. And you also knew that there were rumors that she had a specialty in smuggling, especially people. All this Penny would know, but I highly doubt in those few seconds where Rose is shuffling from the kitchen to the table that you've had a chance to whisper this to your compatriots. So even though Adam and Aaron, you know this as the players, your characters do not.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, she takes this whole tray and she comes up to your table and she sets it slowly down. And as she rises back up, she seems very glad to see all the three of you, that you're here.
Well, hello there, new faithith. We haven't had anybody new come to this shop lately. You seem like a few nice folks. Would even hazard to say you may know right from wrong most of the time?
That's a weird thing to say.
Is it?
She cocks her head.
I don't typically get into philosophical discussions with the tea brewmasters.
Brewmeister?
Meister, sorry.
It's okay.
Do you often talk about philosophical quandaries with your customers?
Only if they're new, but
also Old Faithith. And the way she kind of says that and kind of looks each of you in the eye, and she kind of gives you a small smile, Penny, but says nothing more.
Penny leans forward and says, "It's nice to see you again, Rose. I see you're still doing well. The shop looks great."
Oh, so this is a very interesting thing. Would Rose know you, Zero, in this current face?
Wait, but you said, oh, so when Rose Maylie says, when she said that somebody like old faces, are you saying that she's saying that about Penelope's face and maybe not Zero's face? Is that what the hint is?
My thing is, actually, here's what I'm going to have as a DM for you. I'd like each of you to do an insight check for me. So go to Wisdom, look up if you have any extra modifiers for insight, and roll that.
Yeah, I'm bad at this. I got an unnatural 1.
I got a 10.
That is a 22.
Dang.
Bertram, you're just confused and you're having a hard time understanding her. She kind of speaks with her
I'm focused
tongue
on tea.
Kind of poking out.
I'm focused on tea here.
And you're still focused on your tea. Penny, you can't decide whether or not she recognizes you or anything. She seems very kind and her usual warm self that you vaguely remember, but it's one of those where it's throwing you off, like, does she know who I am? Does she not? I'm very confused. And then I would say for you, what you're picking up on, Awen, is that she seems to recognize Zero, but is kind of confused. So it's like she recognizes Zero's face, but is confused why she would be here.
Well, thank you for the tea. I really appreciate it.
Sorry. I'm joking on my own spit.
Oh, man. Can you say that again, Awen?
Sorry.
Well, thank you for the tea and the crumpets and the accoutrement.
I take the tea. If she's kind of midway putting it down, I help and interrupt. I'm sorry. My friends here do not know how to take a compliment. Yes, we are very kind faces and new here. What can you tell us about this town? The weather and sights are beautiful, obviously, but what can you tell me about this place? Things I should know, places I should go, places I should avoid.
She gives you a warm smile, and her eyes kind of look down and they catch sight of the map that you've been drawing, because none of you bothered to tell me that you put it away. So it's still up on the table. And she kind of raises her eyebrows, but shrugs. And then looking next to you, Bertram, seeing a little bit of an extra space, she kind of like does her hands in like a moving motion a little bit. And then she's like, I'm sorry. These old bones of mine. Do you mind if I take a seat?
Oh, sitting with the help. Okay, all right. I suppose that's all right.
Again?
You're not the help.
Very weird.
Penny, yeah, I'm saying you're the help. I'm saying I'm sitting with the help because you're the help.
Oh, no, I'm the owner. This is my place.
Oh. Penny is like nervously playing with her hair, pushing away, trying to kind of cover her face a little bit.
Your hands are up. She also takes note of your fuchsia hand as you push your hair away. And it's like she doesn't say anything about it. You can tell this is a person who is good at, it's part of her job, keeping secrets and noting things, but not sharing.
Now, Rose, may I call you Rose?
Of course, my dear. And what may I call you?
You may call me Bertram. Thank you, madam.
Bertram.
Now, I forgot to mention this when I was ordering, but do any of these teas help with allergic reactions? My friend here, I believe, is having some kind of allergic reaction with her hands and arms. It's turning this dreadful fuchsia color.
Yes, yes. Hang on. I have some chamomile dandelion in the back.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Thank you.
Slowly rises and she shuffles back.
Right when she's out of earshot, Penny just turns. What are you doing? Do not talk about this with strangers. We are not in a safe place.
Says the person who left the map out.
Good job leaving the map out for the world to see.
There are three of us at this table. We are all guilty.
Yeah, I mean, don't we have places to be? Why are we sitting around drinking tea? Why are we not at the graveyard right now?
Because that's tomorrow.
This is a much more beautiful place to be than a graveyard, Eowyn.
We are not here for beauty, Bertram. We're here to kill...
I'm, for one, am Bertram. Enjoying this break of killing and gross, dank dungeons and ships and prisons. But all right, let's rush out of here and get some more blood covered in our clothes.
Do you not remember that we were just in a circle in the middle of a prison where they were making
down.
Weapons?
Keep it down.
But yes, I don't. I remember everything, sir, as a good servant does. But we are also here for information. I was asking the lady for information. Did you not hear me?
Apparently, T. Bertram,
well,
you're asking. You ask everybody for information.
Our friend is dying over here for all we know.
Miss Vampire Lady, can you give us some more clues?
She had some really interesting things to say.
Penny is like, truly, she's bent over so far. She's like about to put her head on the table, but she also just reaches and grabs the map and pulls into her lap because clearly no one else has thought of it yet.
You hear the shuffling come back and you see the rabbit folk like with a just a cup of tea already like in, just steaming, and you see something steeping in it, and she puts it in front of you, Penny. I'll let this steep for about one more minute. I understand. If you don't want to accept my help on this is a home remedy, but hopefully... And then she, as she's stretching that word out, she sits back down. She eases her little bunny tush down. Hopefully we can learn to trust one another. I know I'm a stranger to you, but I see that I have been given an opportunity here, and forgive me if I'm forward. You might have no idea what I'm going on, but I'm looking for people to work together to take down a monster.
Now, Miss Bun Bun, this sounds all great, fine, and well, but we are here on a tour. Trying to look around the fine city of the smoke. Old smoke. The fine city of old smoke.
Oh, and on your tour you decide to come to the Dickens.
Well, you see, my friend here, who enjoys fine teas, does not understand how ratings and reviews work for hostels.
I heard this was the finest tea room.
Okay,
the finest tea room. I'm sorry, was I mistaken for coming here? Is this not the finest tea room?
Well, Bertram, we are staying in a rather, one-star kind of establishment. So, you know, not here, Miss Bun Bun. You got to see it.
Well, I was hoping that you were people who would be willing to help.
What kind of monsters are you fighting?
Oh, just one. Since you're new around here, but you seem to be getting to know this area around. She kind of looks toward where the map was on the table. I must ask you, what do you know of Fagin's potion shop?
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
After all this time...
What time is it again? I feel like the clock stopped.
Time was a tennis ball we could bat round the court.
Time for distraction too.
Time to just sink to the bottom.
Time to get to the meat of this meat.
Time for Greater Boston Season 4. That's right, on September 13th, Greater Boston returns with new full-length episodes released every other Tuesday. And we're... so excited for you to hear it. But also, it's been 3 years since our last season wrapped, so we're maybe a little worried that people might have forgotten about us. So we're asking for you to help spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers and classmates, tell your cat, tell your local subway busker. But politely and without interrupting their performance, point is, now is a good time to share your love for Greater Boston on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you post things. Then come back on September 13th when Greater Boston Season 4 officially begins.